Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the February 18th, 2024 service at Plymouth, the first Sunday in Lent. The sermon will be delivered by our pastor, Peter Blank.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Try me and know my thoughts.
See if there is any wicked way in me.
And lead me in the way everlasting.
Please turn to hymn 356.
Next is the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Next is the hymn, Spirit Song.
Jesus, oh Jesus.
25, verses 1 through 10. You can follow along in the Pew Bible on page 5 of the Old Testament. I will be reading from the New International Version. Listen to the words. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, Thy Word.
We turn to our gospel reading found in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there on the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water. Let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night and have caught nothing. Yet if you say, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astounded at the catch of fish that they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the Sundays of Lent, I will be preaching a series on Wandering Heart, as we focus in on the life of Peter, disciple Peter, not this Peter, and I'll try and make as much distinction, him, not me, as we move forward. You know, the hymn says, Jesus sought me when a stranger. We sang that as we sang, Come Thou Fount. Jesus sought me when a stranger. We see that picture in this event as Jesus uses Simon's boat and preaches from it to the crowds. So here's a question for you. What do Moses, Isaiah, and Apostle Peter have in common? You're right, it wasn't part of their hair. Let me give you some hints. Moses was keeping the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro when he saw a burning bush that, oddly enough, this burning bush did not burn up. He went over to get a closer look, and as he got to it, he heard a voice saying, Take off your sandals, you are on hollow ground. He not only took off his shoes, he fell flat on his face because he knew he was in the presence of Almighty God. And sure enough, God spoke to him, commanded him to go down to Egypt and speak there to Pharaoh to say, Let my people go. Instead of accepting his marching orders and catching the first bus to Cairo, Moses feigned every excuse he could think of. Who am I? When I speak, I don't speak so eloquently. I stutter a bit. I'm a little slow of speech, slow of tongue. They won't listen to me. So what about Isaiah? Prophet Isaiah had a vision. It was in the year of King Uzziah, and in his vision, he saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high up, very lifted, and God's train filled the entire temple. And surrounding the Lord was a rank of seraphim, angels, six wings, fierce red eyes, the whole place filled with smoke, and the ground shook under his feet. Isaiah trembled with fear and cried out, Woe, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King. Yahweh, the King of armies. Have you gotten it yet? Well, here's Peter. Peter and his brother Andrew, they're cleaning their nets. They've already done their work, been working hard all night, and they're on shore cleaning up from their empty-handed work all night. And when you fish, it happens. It happens. As commercial fishermen, some days you have good days, a good catch, and some days it doesn't go well at all. So they're anxious to finish up and go on home, get some rest. They've been working all night. And then it's Jesus saying, I'd like to use your boat. And so he clambers into it, pushes off a little way from shore, and there he speaks to the crowd who was hanging on every word that Jesus spoke. And then Jesus says, put out into deeper water. Let down your nets one more time. Peter's comment, we've already done that. We have fished this lake dry. There's no fish here. We didn't catch a thing. What's the use of going again? Jesus just sat there. And Peter finally says, oh, all right. All right, if you insist, but I tell you, it's going to be a waste of time. But as they laid out their nets, let them down, there was such a haul of fish that it nearly swamped not the one boat, but two together. They were hauling in more fish than they knew what to do with. When Peter saw all the fish flapping about like they do, flopping around on the bottom of the boat, he fell to his knees because he recognized there's something very different about this one, Jesus. And he says, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. So what do Moses, Isaiah, and St. Peter have in common? they all confronted their own unworthiness as they stood in the presence of God. You know, when any of us stand face to face with God, it is a time for us to shrink back, to be aware of who we are and how small and insignificant we are. And God, Almighty God, choosing us in that moment. This is the start of Jesus calling his followers, his disciples, that he would live day in and day out and train them until he would say to them, you go and preach like I have. You go and heal others. If we take a closer look at each of these disciples, these followers of Jesus in the first century, what were they like? Well, there was Peter. He seemed to be a person who was quick to speak and sometimes slow to think. So he was all blow and no show. He was constantly getting in Jesus' way. And when the chips were down, he would deny Jesus. That man from Galilee, I know nothing about him. Not just once, but three times. Andrew, Peter's brother, also a follower. Anytime Andrew was put to the spot, he would often defer to someone else. This was a common gesture in my family. There were eight of us. And so whenever we were lined up because of someone had done something wrong, perhaps, it was they'd gotten into the cookie jar, eating cookies they shouldn't have. And who did it? Andrew was just like that. Defer to someone else, instead take the heat. James and John, known as the sons of thunder. They were the ones, if you remember in the gospel, that when there was someone that was not part of Jesus' immediate following, he would say, Jesus, call down thunder from heaven and just shock them. The sons of thunder. They also wanted the highest seats in Jesus' kingdom. Can I sit on your left? And he can sit on your right, and we'll just enjoy the time we spend together. There's Nathanael. Never did a lick of work in his life. We catch up with him the first glimpse. He's sitting under a tree in the shade, enjoying the day. And when Jesus saw him first, he spoke and said, I saw you under the tree. And Nathanael said, okay. And Jesus said, come, follow me. And then there was James. James the Less. Interesting title. Does that tell you something about James? I could go on. The important thing is these 12 disciples, followers of Jesus, they were 12 men of maybe average or below of intellect and maybe even ability. And if you were conducting a job search looking for someone to work on your team, you might likely pass these 12 by and say, thanks for applying, but no thanks. But if we were to go through the Bible, who are the key figures as God's plan moves from step one and beyond? Remember Adam, back in the beginning of time? Not much of a backbone there. Doesn't quite do whatever he's told either. And then there's his wife Eve, and I need to be careful here because I'm not going to go into any sexist jokes. She was a good seamstress, but had a rebellious streak. Yeah. Then there's Noah. Great seaman, but after the cruise, he overindulged. Abraham, when he is under pressure, he tends to lie, trying to convince the Egyptians that this beautiful woman next to me, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. See the resemblance? Who could forget David? A strong leader, good military man, but not much for moral character. And his son Solomon, exceptionally wise. Oh, smart kid, but doesn't really practice what he preaches. What I'm trying to say is that the Bible is full of characters, ordinary characters, whom God says, I want you and you and you for a special purpose. You know, recently you have chosen me as your pastor, and I'm glad you keep saying, oh, good, you showed up. It feels very good. And it's fun also to turn that around and say, after these weeks together, oh, good, you've showed up for more. Imagine if, imagine if the nominating committee got this application for this position as pastor of Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. Dear madams and sirs, I would like to be considered in your search for a new pastor. I have considerable preaching experience, and I am the founding pastor of several new church developments. Now, in considering me, you need to know that I'm not in the best health. I have poor eyesight and limited mobility, and I need the watchful care of a good physician. And also, if you conduct a criminal background check, you'll find that I've been incarcerated more than once. Also, I've been accused of starting riots, but that charge was never proven. My strengths are evangelism and mission, though I must confess that my largest congregation was just a little bigger than a house church. And my most successful mission was taking up a collection for the saints back home in Jerusalem. But if you're willing to give me a chance, I promise I'll work hard. And once you get to know me, I think you'll agree that I'm not nearly as opinionated and outspoken as some will say. My hunch is the search committee would say, you can't be serious. Why, this man could be nothing but a troublemaker and a financial burden. What's his name anyway? And the elder would smile and say, the Apostle Paul. In the hymn it says, Jesus sought me when a stranger. Old Testament and New Testaments agree. God chooses the least likely individuals to say, I have a purpose for you. I don't know a better way to describe the early church than with these words of Paul. For you see your calling, brothers and sisters, that not many are wise according to the flesh. Not many are mighty. Not many are noble, but God chooses the foolishness of this world so that God might put to shame those who are wise. God chooses the weak things of this world to confound the strong. God chooses the lowly things of the world, the things that are despised, the things that are not, that God might bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should boast before God. God claims the least likely individuals and say, you are my child, and I have a purpose for you. Are they worthy? Not really. They're woefully inadequate. Their feet are made of clay. That was a phrase my mother used often when I was a full of myself teenager. Peter, remember, your feet are clay. So does this sound like anyone you know? You don't need to raise your hand. No one has to be reminded of their shortcomings. We're quite familiar with them. And I bet you could list a number of reasons why you are not worthy for God to say, I have a purpose for you in mind. God knows you, warts and all, and yet claims you anyway. And what's more, God gives you the inspiration of his own spirit, the knowledge of God's word, and the strength of his grace and love. again, turning to the words of Paul, there is no one righteous. No, not one. Like Moses, Isaiah, St. Peter, Paul, we're not worthy. And yet, God loves us just the same and invites us into the fellowship with Him through Jesus Christ. So like Peter and Andrew standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, cleaning their nets, we could list a dozen reasons why Christ ought to choose someone else. But Christ chooses us and says to us, like He did to Peter, put out into deep water. I know you've been there, but put out into deep water. Don't be afraid. Jesus' words to Peter and to us are not about fishing. No, it's about us trusting in the power of God to work in us, we who are unworthy, we who are simple-minded, we who are not fitting for the task. But there is someone in your circle of friends or in your network that when you speak and tell the stories you do about how God has met you at this and that and another place, they listen because they know you. They listen because you're speaking in terms that they understand. They know you so well that they know when you've struggled. And in your struggle, they know that you found strength that was not your own. Put out into deep water. Take a risk this week and introduce them to your friend Jesus and what He has done in your life and can do and continues to do in you. Invite them to come to church. Invite them during Lent to come and check it out. They might find something that they can take home and live with, live by. And when you and I take that risk of introducing a friend of ours to Jesus, you won't believe the catch that's waiting for you.
Next is the hymn, O Love, How Deep, How Broad, How High. Next is the hymn, There Is a Redeemer.
wanderer, as you leave this place, may you carry your curious heart on your sleeve. May you look for God in every face. May you find the courage to get out of the boat, to run to the tomb, and to speak of your faith. And may you hear God's voice deep within saying, "Take heart, it is I, the Lord. Be not afraid." Friends, you are blessed. You are called. In both your ups and your downs, you always belong to God. Go now in peace. Amen.
This way.